The book is Code Switching, How to Talk So That Men Will Listen. We're talking with Dr. Audrey Nelson. What got you interested in this in the first place? And I would think the obvious answer is the frustration of men not listening to you. Was it that and something else?
Yes, it was really more something else. And it was what I call a life-changing event.
Uh-huh.
I left Averitt College in 69, and I went to Southern California, which is an entirely different culture. And in 69, for those of us that were alive then, a lot of things were moving and shaking in this country. And I started at San Diego State University that had one of the first women's studies departments in the country.
And of course, back then, women's studies was home ec.
Right. And there is, you know, nothing unimportant or demeaning of women's domestic work. In fact, I happen to love cooking. I actually love cleaning, too. I think it's part of my compulsive side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to demean that.
But I think it should be a choice rather than a stereotype.
That's exactly right, Hutch. And we have choices now. But taking classes there really opened my eyes to, at the time, and I'm not so much sure how much things have changed. They've changed, but we certainly haven't arrived, because
mm-hmm.
Now we're at 78.9 cents to the dollar of men, and only 12% of Fortune 500 company CEOs are women. But it changed my life. I just decided I was going to be an advocate for women and for parity and equality in the workplace.
So even in California, you still had an eye-opening, almost an epiphany, about the difference in the way men and women were treated and treating each other at work, the disparity in wages.
And it also means, with the work I do, for example, of trying to make the workplace, we used to call it female-friendly, now we're calling it family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we need to construct the workplace, you know, I'm just giving you for an example of my consulting work, as having policies that make it available for parents to get a sick child to attend their soccer tournament, you know, things like flex time, things like a slower track to partner rather than the fast track that requires 60 to 70 hour work weeks. So, you know, things are changing right now in the workplace.
And I think when you talk about this progress in the workplace, making it more family friendly, this has come as a result of the fact that women now have more power in the workplace. They have more of a voice. These are things they've known have been needs all along, and people are finally listening.
That's right. And I'm so glad that you acknowledged the women, because it was actually baby boomer women, women my age, who paved the way. And I will tell you this, I have as many men approach me today saying, thank you for working with our organization. It makes me easier for me to take an afternoon off to see my daughter's soccer tournament. And that's important to me.
We're talking with Dr. Audrey Nelson, who's coming to speak at Averitt University on Thursday. Her book is Code Switching, How to Talk to Men So That They Will Listen. Dr. Nelson's an internationally known author and business consultant on the subject of communication. And what do we need to learn about this?
In Code Switching, what we offer is it's a book written for women as almost a travel guide, I call it, to a foreign country, the male culture.
Mm-hmm.
And for men communicate different ways than women do. That doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means they're different. For example, men tend to be literal communicators. He's very content-oriented in the way he listens. And he's also, you've heard these sayings, what's the bottom line, speak to the point. He is very goal-oriented. So let's take those two, content and goal-oriented. In contrast, she is process-oriented. That's why you hear women tell stories.
Oh, yes. Because if one man asks another man about what happened in the meeting, the guy will tell you what was decided in the meeting, whereas the woman will go into more detail about how we got to that decision, who got mad in the process.
And what they were wearing and who sat next to whom. All those nuances are important to her.
But I will say, when it comes to our reporters here at WBTM, if we need a trial to be covered, where you want those nuances, where you want to describe who was surprised, who was caught off guard, we have a lady reporter we send to that because she pays more attention to that, whereas the men are just taking notes about what is said. So this is an example of how there's a strength in the difference, but we need to learn to speak the same language.
Yes, we need to speak the same language. I just want to hit on what you just said. You know why you send that woman to the courtroom? Because we have research out of Harvard, PONS, the profile of nonverbal sensitivity. You can get this out of Daniel Goleman's work on emotional intelligence. Women are superior readers of the nonverbal environment.
I was going to ask you about that, is because I know in your work, and I've had fun watching your videos on the internet and looking at synopses of your book.
Thank you.
Nonverbal communication, because you talk about that and how you particularly are good at that. Is that intuitive, or is it learned, or is it a little of both?
You know, I think it's a little of both. I've always said what we have labeled woman's intuition is really her superior ability to read the nonverbal environment. Where does she get that? Well, guess what? We found out there's a little bit of brain functioning going on that's different. And remember, the nonverbal piece is generally the emotional and feelings level. So when I want to know how you feel about something, I listen to your tone of voice. I look at your facial expression. Women pick up those nuances. And I want to add this. When we say men do this and women do this, we don't mean all women and all men. We're talking about that fat part of the bell-shaped curve, because I have met some men that are better at empathy, which is the reading of feelings and emotions, than some women I know are.
So you're talking about differences here, and I notice one of your chapter titles in terms of communication, verbal skills, is what you don't say means a lot. Would you tease us with just a little bit about what
that's... You bet. And that's what you brought up a few moments ago, is the whole nonverbal part.
Mm-hmm.
And my first book, incidentally, is totally dedicated to the nonverbal. It's You Don't Say, Navigating Nonverbal Communication Between the Sexes. It's how men and women communicate differently nonverbally. And I might add, it's in 6 languages. So there are people around the world that picked up on the importance of this. And here's what we know in communication. And my co-author and myself, Dr. Claire Damkin-Brown, we're both PhDs in communication. And we know that it's not what you say. Words are important. Yes, we get meaning out of it. But here's what we know. We believe the nonverbal is more powerful and maybe more potent. It's certainly where we get the bulk of the meaning of a message, is how something was said. And so it's those unspoken messages. Let me give you a quick, test drive of that idea. If the verbal and nonverbal contradict, what do people intuitively go with?
I would say the nonverbal, because that comes from what you really believe and what you really feel. It's not something that you're constructing and putting together just to convince somebody of something.
That's right. And we don't have always a whole lot of control.
And the nonverbal tells us more about whether or not somebody believes what they're saying, whether or not they
absolutely.
Are they afraid? Are they nervous? Is what they really believe about this different than what they are saying? But let me ask you this very quickly. Nonverbal communication, there are so many differences in people's emotions and the way they express things and their backgrounds. Is nonverbal communication still fairly consistent when you're pulling out these biggest reactions? Like, is this person really leveling with me? Is this person comfortable with me? Is it pretty consistent?
That's a very good question to ask. I think what you're asking is, is it always reliable?
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people there is no dictionary of meaning in nonverbal. Now, there'll be a lot of popular writers out there that will like to say, well, if he's got his arms folded, that means he doesn't like you or doesn't like your idea. No, he could have indigestion because he just threw down his breakfast burrito too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no dictionary of meaning.
And I'll give you an example of a discrepancy. When I was little, my dad was a very controlling individual, and when I would look at him in the eyes as a way of making contact, he would say, "Are you trying to stare me down?" And after doing that several times, it got to the point where I was way into adulthood before I could have a conversation with somebody and maintain eye contact. And it wasn't because I was being dishonest. It wasn't because I was distracted or I wasn't engaged. It was because I had fear attached to looking somebody in the eyes because I was taught that it was threatening and challenging. And I still have to work on that some.
Sure. I mean, there you go. You just presented a perfect example of someone's own personal history and how it impacts their behavior. And I might add this, in American white culture, eye contact is huge.
And that's why I tried to work on that, because I can see now when you're talking about nonverbal communication, my main motivation for working on this is I can see when I break eye contact and come back, their focus has changed a bit as if they're saying, okay, why is he not looking at me? I could
exactly.
see that I could see that they reacted to it and not positively. They emotionally
right.
backed off a little bit.
Right. And then you should know it's highly culturally variable. In Japan, you do not have eye contact as a way of honoring somebody. The second thing you said is the whole lying and deception area. And we have experts who, for example, in jury trials, interrogation. That was my very first job with the Chula Vista Police Department when I was getting my master's degree. And I was teaching a 40-hour course at Southwestern College on nonverbal communication. And I was hired by the sergeant there. He said, I want you to teach my all-male detectives. And remember what I said, women tend to be a little better than men at this,
mm-hmm.
how to read these nonverbal cues of lying and deception. So you're absolutely right. It's highly individual, but we can discern discrepancies. And when we do, we need to pay attention to that.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Audrey Nelson. The book is Code Switching, How to Talk So That Men Will Listen. And the definition of code switching is the ability to use your knowledge of two or more cultures or languages and switch between them depending on the situation to best communicate your message. And I know they'll be looking forward to your talk at Averitt, and I'll put a link to your website on here, because another book that you have written, an area you've covered that I'd love to spend 30 minutes on, but we can't, is Talking Between Generations. The people who are 55 years old, how do you work with somebody who's 22 and get along with them and trust them and vice versa? And that whole difference between the way generations communicate added to the way genders communicate really kicks this thing into overdrive.
Absolutely. I call it the double G force, gender and the generations. I mean, to me, those are the two biggest demographic variables that impact communication in the workplace.
Yes, guys who are 55-year-old bosses have no idea how much the 25-year-old female employees are rolling their eyes at them behind their back.
There you go.
I enjoyed the discussion. Code Switching, great book, and there's even a couple of videos of some of your explanations here in your presentations, and I enjoy the work you're doing, Dr. Nelson.
Thank you, Hutch. Thanks for this opportunity.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.